Lord and Heavenly Father, you are good all the time. And Lord, I know that up in heaven, that you are sitting on your throne and Jesus Christ is relaying our petitions, our requests, and he hears them. And we thank you for the great gift that you have given us on this side of the cross to speak directly to Jesus Christ, to take our requests and our petitions, to give them to the Father, and that you will hear from heaven, and you will answer them. I thank you that you've given us that gift, that promise to your children. And Lord, as we talk about that this evening, I just pray that you will just inspire us to pray, to be people of prayer, to be warriors of prayer, and just to really make that a priority in our hearts. For it's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In James chapter 5, it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah, a man with nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. As we continue in the book of Colossians right now, we are looking at Paul's salutation to the church. And as we read here in Colossians chapter 4, it says, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I hope that we are responsible in our prayer life. We are in a battle. We are in the midst of a warfare. For our souls, for the souls of our friends, our neighbors, our families, our country. And the battle is fought not with guns, not with fists, but on our knees. And we have a Heavenly Father who has given us this weapon in this spiritual battle that we can go and we can have an effect on the world around us that is greater than any word that we could speak. Greater than any action we could commit is to take our concerns, our requests, our praise, our adoration, and to give it to God the Father. But I think that the devil is going to try his best to not let us pray. But when we do, God will answer. We read from James chapter 5. Just a minute ago, about Elijah, the prayer warrior. I love that verse when I think about time to pray and getting on my knees before God. That verse pops into my mind. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I think about Elijah and the faith of that man to pray that God would shut the faucet of heaven and stop the rain. About how, as we read in 1 Kings, about how there's a boy that has died and what faith he had that if he goes and prays to God, that God would raise that boy up from the dead. I think about it. If someone were to die and we were to pray that God could raise that boy from the dead today, we have a precedent that God does that, right? We open the Bible and we see God is a God who raises the dead. This is possible for our Father. But think about Elijah. Did he have a precedent for that? As I've looked in the scriptures, I don't find one. And he prayed that that boy would raise from the dead, and it didn't happen. So what did he do? He got over that boy and prayed for him again. And then he got over him and prayed for him again 3 times. Don't think that the number is insignificant either, do you, as reading this great and amazing book that all fits together like pieces of a puzzle? But do we have that kind of prayer life that would go out in faith and pray? Pray earnestly. How should we pray? First thing, with diligence or earnestly, like we find in Colossians chapter 4. I got a chance to talk to Jared Myers, the sound guy for the Tallies, on Friday night. And boy, you guys probably were, if you were here at the concert and you were sitting up here, you didn't get to see him. As he was sitting back there at the soundboard, he always looked like a guy who was getting ready to face a pitcher in a baseball game. As he was looking, he was like standing and he was ready and he wanted to make sure those knobs were right. But I was just like, boy, you look like a batter in the dugout, you know, that's up in the batter's box waiting for a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. But as I was talking to him, he was talking about God's answered prayer. And I thought about, man, I'm going to be talking about that on Sunday night. He said as he was considering coming to the Tallies, him and his wife had been praying about it and praying about it and praying about it. And he was sitting there in church one day, and the preacher started preaching, and he said it felt like just me and the preacher were in the room. And I felt him saying to me, Jared, you got to go with the Tallies. You got to go serve them. And he said that he had his arm around his wife, and they had been praying about this and praying about this, and he was going to pull his arm around and kind of nudge her. But then he said he got about his arm about halfway around, and God said, no, don't nudge her. Put your arm back, young man. So he did. He said, okay. And after the service, he got in the car, and he's driving home, and he was quiet. And he said, that was the longest ride home from church. My wife wasn't talking. I wasn't talking. And my wife turned to me and she said, Jared, what do you think about the service? And I didn't want to say anything because I knew exactly how I felt about the service, is what he said. He said he turned to his wife and he said, well, what did you think about the service? You know how us guys play these games. And she said, God really spoke to me. I felt like me and the preacher were the only ones in the room, and God was preaching to me, and you need to go work with. And he's like, that's exactly what God was saying to me. Isn't that how God works? And so then they began praying about this more. And they said, yes, God will follow you. The very next day, they got a letter in the mail from the IRS because he had just finished a job where he was setting up a website for a company. And when they turned in the 1099, it said $809. But when it got to the IRS, what do you think happened? Decimal places got moved. And so the IRS said, you owe us $32,000 for the $100,000 you made this year. And he said, God, I just surrendered. And so what did they do? They prayed. And when it became time where the IRS was sending them the letter that said, we're going to repossess your car and this could be trouble for your home, and they'd gotten all that, and it was time to decide what they were going to do. Were they really going to go through and follow the Lord on something they'd been praying about? And he said he just felt God say, pray about this, pray about this, pray about this. And one moment, he said, God, I feel your peace. You've answered my request. I got to follow the Lord. And so he went upstairs to talk to his wife, and he said, I feel a peace. We've been praying about this, and we need to follow the Lord. And she said, come here, I got to show you something. She took him over to her prayer journal, and they opened up the prayer journal, and they looked, and they found that just at the same time that he was feeling that peace from the Lord, she was writing in her prayer book, I have a peace from the Lord that we need to do this. Is that the way God answers prayers? The way he does things? And then a few days later, they got a letter saying that everything with the IRS had been cleared up. And it just so happened the day that that letter went out was the same day that they got the peace that they should follow the Lord. That's how God works that way. I keep a prayer journal, and one of the things that I had written for day after day after day after day after day, I had been convicted for a while. I said, Lord, I want to be a pastor in your time and in your way. And I don't know where or when or how, but Lord, I pray that you will work that out. And I wrote that every day. God, I pray, I pray, I pray. And I had that documented, like, you know, I pray that God, that you'll do this. I pray that you'll do this. I pray that you'll do this. And it was 2 years, right from the time I started praying about it till I started here. And I didn't know what God was going to do and how he was going to work. I find that you pray, the name of the Lord is glorified. And he is going to get the honor and the praise and the glory through answering your requests. And when you pray in his name, he will answer. Because his name is important. Let's turn over our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. I've got the verse up there on the screen. Luke chapter 11. This passage of Scripture, I had read this passage of Scripture and read this passage of Scripture, but one night I went to, while I was in the Gideons, I went to a Gideon dinner, and they sometimes will show a video from Gideon's International, a little devotional or a word of encouragement. And one particular night, I remember the preacher. I cannot remember who the preacher was, who was given the Bible study that night. I wish I could so I could give him the credit. But he talked on this passage, and it sunk that night. It sunk into my brain, and it stuck there. And I can picture sitting at Denny's watching that video and it going into my head. There is power in prayer, and don't give up on prayer. God will be honored. He will honor his name through prayer. So pray, 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 pray. Someone in this room also told me this week, they said, when you pray for someone and you pray for their soul, you are not praying for that in your lifetime. You're praying for that in their lifetime. I don't remember who said that to me this week, but thank you, because that was very important to me. So, and I know the person's here in this room. So, but pray. Let's read this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. It says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of the persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We need to be persistent in prayer. I can remember that preacher saying, and he was saying, when we pray, we need to be as persistent and as diligent and as responsible as the person in this book. He painted the picture for me. This is something that I had read, but it wasn't until that night that that preacher talked about it that it finally painted the picture. And he said, picture you're in your house and there's someone knocking on the door and they won't stop until you answer the door. And you're sitting there going, oh boy, they're going to wake up our neighbor Karen and our neighbor Kathy and our neighbor down the street. They're going to wake up all our neighbors in and around us. And so then you go to the door and you give them what they want because the neighbors are going to notice. And you don't want the neighbors saying, oh boy, that place down the road, they're troublemakers. They just got people banging on their door, keeping everybody up at night. You go to the door and you answer at midnight because you don't want to wake the neighbors. And he says, when we pray to God, and we pray to God, and we pray to God, and we pray to God, we got to keep up with that prayer. So the name of the Lord will be a testimony to everybody around watching you as you pray. It was right then that I decided, I'm going to keep a prayer notebook. And I'm going to be consistent in my prayer life. And I know it takes a little bit of time maybe to write down the things that you're praying for every day. And it might seem some days that it's not worth it when you've written down 100 times, I pray that this person will come to know Christ. I pray that this person will come to know Christ. And I pray that this, and you feel like that person is just drifting further and further and further away from the Lord. But God isn't deaf. God is listening. God is working in ways that we don't even know. Maybe God has to get that person to the bottom before they're ready to hear. Maybe they got to go so far away that it's going to take a miracle that no one can deny that it's a miracle and God brings them back. God answers prayer. And I'm sure if we were to go around the room and ask, has God answered your prayers? We'd hear many testimonies of many miracles of people who have consistently prayed and said, God answers prayer. And it was on that night that I decided, I'm going to keep a notebook so that one day, maybe my daughter will say, what was Dad doing when I was 13? She'll pick up that notebook and he was praying for me. And I remember that. And I want that to be the legacy that's left behind. And there be a testimony of what God has done. Because God answers prayers in great ways. And I challenge you tonight to be effectual, to knock on the door of heaven consistently and repeatedly until God answers prayers. And you, here's the thing, you may never know. There was a boy that I wanted to minister to. And I thought that Path of Life Camp would be a great place for him to hear the gospel, to be trained up in the ministry, to learn to live as a disciple of God. And I remember spending, it seemed like weekend after weekend after weekend, going and picking him up. Just like I did with Adam and Brad Hurlburt and stuff. Go pick them up and get them to come help me and everything. And this boy, I'd go and I'd pick him up, and he lived farther away from any of those boys, and I'd go and I'd drive to pick him up. It seemed like I spent all this time, going and picking him up, bringing him back, helping, sharing the gospel with him, reading the Bible to him, praying for him. then I remember him saying to me, it was one Easter weekend. I picked him up. I was sharing the word of God with him, trying to encourage him. He threw his hands up in the air. I don't want anything. I've had enough of this Christian stuff. He walked out the door. And I took him home. And I haven't seen him since. Haven't maybe heard a little rumor here or there of what he's doing, but you know, I pray for him. He's a daily prayer guy. I pray for him, I pray for him, I pray for him. And that's been at least 12 years now. And I'm praying and I'm praying and praying. And I have no idea what God's going to do. And guess what? I don't care what God does, because I know he's going to do it. And when I get to heaven, I trust that God will have the answer. And it may not be in my lifetime. I might hear in my lifetime, and praise the Lord if I do, what God does. But God will answer those prayer requests. And when I get to heaven, I'm sure that God will be able to account for exactly what he did. And whether he chooses to tell me or not, that's okay. I trust God the Father and that he's doing a great and mighty thing. And I may never know, maybe thousands of miles away, what he's doing, but I trust him. And you know what I look forward to? I look forward to those times that God shows us the answers to those requests. And he shows us exactly what he did to answer that prayer and what he's doing. And I count on that. I count on that. Let's turn back in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with all thanksgiving. Second thing I'd like us to look at is that word, being vigilant, with awareness. Being aware of what's going on. And immediately, the thing that comes to mind is that night where Jesus was preparing to go to get on, to hang on the cross and to make the atonement for our sin. And as he is deeply in prayer, he begs the disciples, won't you guys pray with me for 1 hour? And what do? Fall asleep. Now, we tend to get kind of hard on the disciples. But as I've read and read and read what happened that night, I believe that there is a veil that separates us from what's going on in the spiritual world. I think that right now we are sitting here, but all around us, there is a battle for souls being waged. Satan and his minions are doing their best to thwart the word of God, and God has his angels answering requests all the time. But I believe on that night, before Jesus Christ was preparing to die on the cross, as those sweat drops of blood were coming down our Savior's face, as Satan entered into Judas to betray God the Father, to betray Jesus Christ, as they come to arrest Jesus, and Jesus says, I am he, and those soldiers fall as dead man, I think the veil was really thin that night. And the spiritual warfare that was going on was extreme. And those guys falling asleep, you could just see that war. And that's what, my point is that's what prayer is. It's a battle waged on our knees. And we need to be vigilant. We need to be looking around for things we ought to be praying for. When we see someone that's in need of prayer, we ought to stop right then and say, could I pray for you right now? And take the opportunity to pray with them. That's so important to being somebody who prays. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and God put something right on your mind and he says, pray about it? Don't you say, I'm tired right now, I'll pray about it. No, get out of bed, get on your knees,
and pray about it then. Don't wait till morning. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit knocking out. He wakes you up sometimes and says, get on your knees and pray. Sometimes are you going to find out that God had a specific need that he called on you to pray at that time? Yeah. I bet you if I were to ask, you know, raise the hands, if that's happened to you, and you know that was God, I bet you most of the hands in this room would go up. And I challenge you, if that's never happened to you, pray that God would do something like that in your life. That he'd make you a prayer warrior, a vigilant, ready, prepared prayer warrior. We see there in the book of Habakkuk, God calls Habakkuk to watch out for his people, to stand on the watchtower and to see and to warn when the enemy is coming. And in that passage, let's turn over there in the book of Habakkuk. Let's see if we can find it. Small book in the minor prophets. Right after Nahum. As prayer warriors, we need to be on the watch. Looking, ready, prepared. Ready to pray at a moment's notice. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, I stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. In this passage, Habakkuk was looking for a very real enemy that was coming to the streets of Jerusalem. And his job was to sound the warning that the people needed to change their lives. But today, we also have a very real enemy who is out to destroy us. And we as Christians, as believers, as prayer warriors, we need to set up our watchtower. We need to be looking to the world around us and saying, I will pray for that need. I will pray, I will pray, I will pray. And the last thing from Colossians chapter 4, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. If we are going to be people that pray, we need to do it with all diligence. We need to be aware, watching out, looking for people who are in the battle. And we need to be prayer warriors. But if we're going to pray, we also need to pray with thanksgiving. We need to notice when God has answered a request. When as we look out, tonight, God answered a prayer request of mine since I came to stand up here on the stage. Something that I've been praying about, God answered. And I have to say, I praise the Lord that he answers prayer. And we need to be thankful, always praising the Lord for the way that he answers prayer. Let's turn over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's read verses 16 to 18. In verse 16 it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Our prayer needs to be a thankful prayer. When we have knocked on the door of heaven and knocked on the door of heaven, we have come to the throne of God, prayed for him to do something amazing beyond our wildest imagination. And we see that God is faithful in prayer, that he has answered our prayer. We need to give glory to the God who answers prayer. We need to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my request and for answering. And we just need to give him the praise and the honor and the glory that he deserves. I've got a lot more that I kind of wanted to talk about tonight. I wanted to talk about what we should pray for and how we ought to live. I think it's going to take a lot of time on what we ought to pray for. And so I'm going to leave point two for next week. It's almost 7 o'clock, and we've got a big meeting to talk about and something that's going to change the way our church looks. And so what should we do before we have a meeting like that? We should pray. And so I'd like to turn our attentions tonight to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to spend a moment and we're going to pray. And maybe you haven't been praying very much lately. When we pray that God will make you a prayer warrior. Maybe you are a prayer warrior. You know that God's a God that answers our prayer requests. Pray about our meeting. Maybe God has touched your heart tonight and God said to you, there's somebody I need to pray for, and I'll pray for them as long as it takes because the devil is after them. And God, you need to use that person. And I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll pray for that. Pray for that person and pray that God will make you faithful in praying for them. But think about this verse and try to visualize it in your mind. Picture yourself as being part of this verse and put yourself in the proper place. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, it says these words, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'd like to ask us, as we go to prayer tonight, that we would come boldly before the throne of grace. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to do that tonight. So bow your heads and close your eyes, and let's just take a moment to pray. Whatever God's put on your heart, whether it be about the meeting coming up, whether it be about a ministry that you're involved in, whether it be about praying, that you will be someone who prays and prays and prays and is committed to be a prayer warrior, to be vigilant in prayer. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, help us to pray. I praise you, I thank you that you answer our prayers. Lord, you hear from heaven. You see us down here on earth. You know what's on our minds, what's on our hearts. And you answer those requests. I pray tonight, Lord, that you will take the things that are on our hearts, and as we offer them up to you, you will hear them from your throne and you will answer them. Lord, maybe it's today, maybe it's 20 years from now, but Lord, we're going to keep on praying. we will be faithful. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be consistent. Help us to, in the middle of the night, get on our knees and pray to you. And Lord, we have some people in our church that are on our hearts this evening, maybe for salvation, maybe for health needs, maybe for a broken heart. I pray that you will do as only you can in those situations. Lord, we also, as a church, we're about to talk about something sensitive to our hearts, and that's about the building of our church. And Lord, we talk about being a testimony to our community. We talk about what you would have us to do. And I pray that as this church body meets to talk about what to do with the current situation in our sanctuary, that you will hear from heaven, that you will come down here tonight to our business meeting, and that you will direct in how it ought to go. I pray that you might help us in wisdom and in clarity of mind to just think about the direction you would have us to go, and that you would do great and mighty things through this church, and that you would reach the lost, and you would change lives and families. And Lord, just help us to be people that pray. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.